Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Andy Davis. Venturi's Voice brings together thought leaders from a variety of industries who are taking the most innovative approaches to leadership and staffing. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors sharing their secrets on leadership, recruiting, onboarding, engagement, and motivating, as well as stories on life lessons they've learned along the way. And it's free. If you're the head of a major corporation leading a team of hundreds or about to take on your first leadership role, this podcast is for you. The show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best leader you can be. Stay up to date with the latest shows by subscribing on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as signing up to the newsletter at venturi-group.com, where you can find the latest IT jobs, talent, and blogs on all things leadership, staffing, and development. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line anytime via email at andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback or requests are always welcome. Enjoy the show.
Today's guest is Charlotte Morris, the CMO for Skin Ninja. Skin Ninja is a breakthrough UK app which identifies what exactly is in our skincare products. It's all about outcomes, and you know, marketing, as I have to constantly remind people, is actually is, believe it or not, a revenue generating channel. I think for some reason that's kind of been forgotten in a lot of instances, and I don't know whether it's poorly taught, you know, from the graduate level or something along those lines, or the principles are a bit skewed. But, you know, for me, and I think for you as well, we both have, you know, backgrounds with marketing in technology companies. And, you know, my actually first ever job was with a seed stage startup that we ended up raising a Series A and Series B round with. But, you know, those days were just a phenomenal learning experience for me, and I can imagine you probably had, you know, similar, where you had that discipline. But, you know, I had to understand about what every penny, you know, where every penny went and how that was impacting the bottom line, essentially. That seems to get lost, I think, in a lot of markets if they start out in a bigger organization and they don't really fundamentally understand, I suppose, the outcomes. And it's funny because, you know, as I think we're going to talk about a little bit with technical people, it's actually quite a similar issue, that at the moment there's, you know, a lot that's demanded from technical people as far as understanding business outcomes. And I think the same can be said for marketers. So, you know, kind of those two worlds interacting, I think one of the common themes is actually, you know, really fundamentally understanding how to navigate the business outcomes and actually being aware of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a really interesting, I think marketing in itself I graduated over 10 years ago now. And if I think about what I was taught at university and what I do day in, day out now, is yes, the big ideas are still, you know, similar in terms of, you know, how to approach market. But if I think about the media and everything that's involved, it's completely different. It's completely evolved. And I think then when you add in that, and when thinking about the tech industries, and we think about growth and growth, you know, growth marketing and growth hacking as a term has only really been around for the past couple of years. And if I think about that when coming into what I'm working on now, is that marketing has sort of moved away from the more traditional advertising and sort of brand-led, if we think back to the 1950s even, of, oh, we'll spend some money on this and we'll just make lots of noise and there's no way of really being able to measure and track, to especially in tech, where every single action is measurable, is optimized, is watched almost. I think, you know, marketing has turned into much more of an analytical discipline. And it's really, really fascinating, having come back from Berlin back to London, to really see how even London, in the 18 months that I was away, how that's actually evolved and developed. You know, we talk around growth and marketing in the same breath. We talk around performance marketing, and then we start to think about brand and creative as much more of a sort of separate art form, whichever it should be. And it's just really interesting to see these sort of tangents, I guess, of marketing to begin. And if I think about my own experience, I've always been really, really thankful to have a CRM background, and for not knowing, not everyone really, CRM means CRM means different things to different people. If we're talking in a B2B space, it means something very, very different to if we're thinking about performance marketing. For some, it's just email. For some, it's the whole end-to-end engagement piece, which works very, very closely with product and, you know, getting customer user stories fed back into the product, into the marketing, sort of advertising pieces, and then back into, just into email. And what now I see, social, for example, I see that as just the next evolution of CRM, of knowing where your target audience are, but also learning from the insights of who's engaging with your brand, with your, you know, pure adverts, and learning more and more about them. So I've been really interested in how it all links together. And I think tech is a really, I don't know, for me, it's a very satisfying space to be in. I kind of fell into it, if I think about it. I don't think 10 years ago, I mean, if I think about Skype, that was via the agency that I was working at, that they were my clients. So, you know, I fell into that side of things. But I knew as soon as I got there that was the place that I wanted to be. And although sort of the analytics side of things doesn't necessarily come naturally to me, it's a piece that I really, really enjoy. And I love being able to then, take that back into the engineering side and just be like, hey, did you know that this is how consumers are actually thinking about the brand, what they're interested in, and how this can actually all feed back? And I think you sort of started this exactly the problem in terms of the tech side doesn't really understand what marketing do all day as just sort of flap about with pieces of art and make these, you know, big noise. And you know, it's coming from the CRM point of view, it's like I've certainly felt that on other aspects of marketing, of just like, oh, what are you driving? And why actually is it important that we're driving brand awareness? Why is it important that we're driving impressions and traffic? And ultimately, I think actually thinking about the education piece is that everybody should understand the impact that they have within the funnel. And it, you know, as a business analyst working, you know, on the back end, they're not responsible for creating brand awareness in the same way that brand awareness and, you know, the big brand campaigns aren't responsible for that absolute optimized word, phrase, CTA, color, whatever it might be. And it's about appreciating skill sets. And I think that's really, if I think about it in terms of the past 5 years of being able to fragment almost marketing within organizations, I think tech's always just going to be the forefront of that, and maybe some more sort of big FMCG and sort of type companies that perhaps it's a bit more blended. But I think tech, it's particularly important because everything is measurable, every last piece. And sometimes that takes away a little bit the the magic almost of marketing, of just when you do create those campaigns and it works, and that there isn't this, you know, magic formula behind it. And that can be a little bit difficult to explain, certainly to sort of CTO sort of level of, this worked because we understood our consumer insights, we understood what made them tick, but there isn't always a number against that. There isn't always this perfect answer for it. And that can be very difficult for so the numerical analytical brains, I guess, to understand that actually there is a little bit of art, there's a little bit of psychology within it, there's a little bit of the unknown, which makes it a riskier, I suppose, area of the business. But I think for me personally, that's what that's what it's all about. Sort of adding the color to the metrics behind it all.
I found as well with the marketing space that everything seems to be kind of going in the same way tech has. You know, 20 years ago, one person would know a specific language in tech and it would be a nuance within tech and they'd be an absolute expert in that, and that would be their niche. You know, now that doesn't really fly anymore. You know, you have to have a broader skill set, and it all comes down from really understanding the fundamentals. And, you know, for marketers, the fundamentals are understanding, you know, what actions, you know, equate to outcomes, and technology is the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really, really interesting. if I think about my own career, I started off in financial services straight after university, so very, very numbers driven. That's kind of what took me down the CRM path, you know, very similar. But I knew that if I stayed in CRM, that's it. Like, you know, once you get into a certain level, it's just like, right, how am I going to be able to diversify? And so I made a very strategic decision to kind of, sort of push myself out of my comfort zone and go, okay, well, what do I know about brand? What do I know about other channels? Like, how do I, you know, I'm a consumer, so, and I'm, you know, very tech savvy. So, you know, obviously I understand the additional channels, but I think what's being asked nowadays is, and to mid senior upwards, is that you almost need to be a specialist amongst every single piece. It's no longer, okay, you're a head of marketing with a CRM background, but you're a head of marketing with a CRM background, but you've also run PPC, you've also run social, you've also done X, Y, and Z. And it's no longer, if you can't do it, there's someone right behind you who can. And I think that's also been the biggest, you know, if I think about my peers, if I think about the, you know, we kind of graduated university and was like, okay, we know all of our skills, we've read all the textbooks, and, you know, nothing's really changed too much over the past like 20 years, to all of a sudden over the past 10 years of, oh, hang on a minute, I need to go and skill up. So, for example, I did my Scrum Master years ago, but what that really allowed me to do was to understand how developers work. So, you know, the idea of agile, lean, sprint, this is something I'd never even understood, like waterfall, project management, that's how I understood everything. And it was like, whoa, there's a whole other methodology. And how does that impact the way that I'm working? And no wonder that we're speaking different languages and that I'm not providing enough detail, for example, in a brief, or I'm specifying something completely, in a different language almost. And I think that's, you know, someone who enjoys sort of skilling up and learning, that's fine, but it can be a little overwhelming as well, I'm sure, to anyone coming out of university or wherever, or changing careers. It's a continual journey, and actually to stay within tech particularly is that you have to keep your finger on the pulse, and there's no room for not, to be honest. And I think nail on the head there in terms of thinking about behavioral economics and actually thinking around like all the macro factors that influence, and some of the best marketers I've ever worked with have psychology degrees, and it totally makes sense. Of course, you know, we're human beings and we're exposed to different stimuli, and we're, you know, some things tick for certain people, and psychology is what it essentially all comes down to. And then if you can kind of cross that with a really analytical mind, then it's incredibly powerful. And I think around, you know, a traditional marketing team now versus from 10 years ago, 5 years ago to now, if I think about, building a team here, is that, I'd never have thought how important to have an analyst at the beginning is one of my key members of staff. Before maybe a campaign manager, maybe creative, maybe around brand, but now it's just like, right, well, if we can get the analytics side of things and then the real number crunching and the less sort of sexy fun stuff from my point of view, then actually that's going to give us way more growth and opportunity than perhaps that sort of more traditional, okay, you're from a channel manager point of view to an audience manager and whatever that might be. But it's just like, that for me is my ultimate key hire of, right, bringing in a performance marketing analyst, manager, whatever we want to call them, to drive that, and that person can then talk the same language of back into development and engineering, and that blend that you're talking about is, yeah, it's a core set of values almost, and a core it's almost the heartbeat through an organization. And if I think about companies that have done this well, is where engineering is also responsible for the bottom line. It's interesting sort of talking about that on the flip side, where I'm just like, of course marketing is that's where the revenue is all coming from, but of course everybody feels like they're responsible for something. But if everyone has that key KPI running through the organization, then, you know, of course it's going to, everyone working together towards the same goals. And I think this is also prominent in tech in terms of growth, where, you know, if things do kick off very, very quickly, and you know, these high scale growth startups, that all of a sudden going from like three people where it's super efficient just to walk across the table, or, you know, whatever it might be, to relay that information, to all of a sudden there's 50 people, and where is the process? Where is the common language? Where is the, sort of the agreement on what we're all growing towards? So, I think it's almost just like disciplines growing and exponentially, and which is super exciting. If I think about like in the next like 5 years and in terms of what a team potentially here, then even what we're scoping out now can be very, very different to what it might be. So it's certainly been interesting. It's good to see where it's going.
Well, I think we're in a privileged position as well, you know, to be involved with technical people, actually, because the thing that I love about that is that they have no choice but to continuously learn and adapt. And I do think that kind of rubs off, and not only rubs off, but it's also becoming a necessity, certainly for markets. And I think is one of the main fields that, you know, people really have to skill up and skill up fast at the moment. And I think being around technical people is a massive advantage, you know, on people who are part of market divisions that might not be as, you know, as involved with the technical side. It is a big advantage, and I think it gives that sense of urgency to, you know, really learn the skills that are going to be necessary in the next kind of 5 to 10 years. You know, I think it's an interesting space.
Yeah, I think for sure. And I think this is what, if I think about like from a university point of view, and you know, everyone coming out is just like, the expectation needs to really be set that, yep, you come out with your skills, but you need to keep on top of this. If you want to work in tech and in marketing in particular, it's almost like a lifestyle. Just, you know, it's a real commitment. Because what worked 2 years ago, 6 months ago, 2 months ago, isn't necessarily going to be what works in the future. And that's incredibly exciting for, you know, people who thrive off of this. But I think it's becoming just more and more of, at the same time, it's also using people's skills better. And instead of this sort of generalist sort of jack of all trades, it's actually like, actually, I'm really good at the optimization piece. I'm really interested in the psychology of search and what triggers people to do X, Y, and Z. And I think if I could think back to university, I wish that we'd got more of a heads up that actually you can focus in on things. It's just an evolving discipline for sure, and it's incredibly exciting. And I really do hope that, and as I speak to more developers, I'm definitely seeing it, that there is an interest in actually, what does marketing do? And, you know, you can create the most amazing product, but if nobody knows about it and if nobody cares, then it's a product that's going to sit on the app store and not go anywhere. So it's almost like, providing a service for each other as well. So I don't know. There's definitely a space to work hand in hand, but I do understand why the sort of the tech and the dev side don't always understand what marketing gets up to, and we as a discipline need to do that better. And I do see that for sure. We're learning each other's language. I think that's the best way of summing it up.
I did want to get onto the point before, I know we're a bit short on time today, but about kind of what the things you're working on at the moment that, you know, you expressed that you feel particularly passionate about at the moment, which is obviously a lot around the mentoring. And again, I think to the theme of a lot of the conversation, it's really bringing the tech and the marketing worlds kind of together, you know, but now a kind of new role in the mentoring capacity. So, you know, I'd be intrigued to see some of what the things you're working on there at the moment.
Yeah, so I've been incredibly fortunate throughout my career to have some amazing mentors in official capacities and non-official capacities. Having worked for Microsoft, like Microsoft's very big on in supporting that, and it was something that I'd not really thought about before. And again, you don't know what you don't know, and if you don't know that there's a whole other side of the business, either working to the same goals or not working to the same goals, then how do you break out of your day to day and get exposure to that? So I was incredibly fortunate with Skype and Microsoft to get access to people who wouldn't have given me, or not necessarily wouldn't give me the time of day, but just they didn't know that I existed. At certain levels, then why would a senior director over in San Francisco be interested in whatever level down in London? And that just gave a platform to get access to those voices. And again, tech, maybe not so much for the generations coming through, but just like, I didn't grow up in a household that was particularly tech proficient. So it wasn't necessarily around, growing up in Sussex. It's not particularly, like Tech City, like in London now. So it wasn't something that I really understood or had much experience with. But by mentoring and receiving that was like, there's a whole other way of dealing things. Let alone left brain, right brain, there is cultural differences. There is, in terms of introvert, extrovert, and like in all of the spectrum of human behavior that hadn't even occurred to sort of early 20s, sort of skipping around and trying to get stuff done. So what that really allowed me to do was to really ask maybe some stupid questions that I look back now and think, oh God, but wasn't able to either talk within my peer group or to my manager because there were things that I felt like I should have known. But was that really allowed me to sort of soundboard a few things. And especially with tech, with change, I think it kind of comes hand in hand with tech companies, that it can be particularly at the beginning of your career of just trying to work things out and not mess it up. And not to make sure that you're thinking through all the options and that you're doing what you need to be doing and what's expected of you. But at the same time in tech, like you don't get those really nice job descriptions that tell you, this is what you need to do. It's just like you just need to just get on with it and, think a lot on your own two feet. And I think by having mentoring in tech companies in particular, it really, really helps you just bridge the gap, the knowledge gap of even just coming out of a meeting and just like, I don't understand what half of those terms just meant, and someone just patiently stepping through it. So that really sort of spurred me on to give back as much as I could. And again, through Microsoft, was able to then get access, or people had access to me rather, from all walks of the organization, like from Xbox, but even down to like the Azure, like cloud, like server-based interns, and allowing them to give them access into how we ran things at Skype. And it was amazing to be able to hear their own journeys. But I think what comes from mentoring also makes, I don't know, it made me really realize as well that there are always different ways of thinking, be it from someone passing me information to me passing information to someone else. There is just this chain of thought and being open-minded to it. Like you don't have to take the advice, right? But it really, really expanded the way that I thought and has made me, in terms of just how I approach things, of not just how would I do it, but just let me just consider that from somebody else's point of view. And it's not an overnight thing. It builds up with relationships, but it also made me a lot more confident to believe in myself. I'm a fairly confident person, but when especially doing in tech and also having to talk in another language or talk in a way that you're not necessarily comfortable with, it just like, oh, I think I'm briefing this incorrectly, but possibly I've missed something, to be able to just bounce that off of someone who's got 20 years more experience, to be able to then just go, you've got the right way of thinking, but have you thought about it from this point of view? And what if you just help them because they're not coming from the same point of view as you? And just these small little things that don't take up much time. I mean, mentoring all up does, but just a 5-minute sort of bounce something off. And it just also then really helped me think through in terms of my career path of what I wanted to do. And again, sort of thinking through this sort of CRM into more general way of thinking. And it's just from those conversations and those mentoring sessions, but also really stepping out of the day to day. It was an hour every couple of weeks, potentially, to just, you know, put everything that I'm working on to one side and then just have, you know, half hour, an hour to talk through anything, absolutely anything. And yeah, it's been really, really satisfying to be able to do that the other way around. Having just sort of getting back into London, then this is something that I'm keen to pick up. And what I'm working on now is very, very startup, and we're just in the initial stages, but it's really thinking around how do we bring in, as a female organization, how do we support the science and tech and, you know, STEM, basically. How do we mentor sort of the science side to think through around business, for example? Like, how do we give back everything that we've learned? How can we, you know, help the next generation sort of step up? So it's something that, yeah, very, very passionate about, and it's really refreshing to see it becoming more and more of the norm, I guess, of be that from, you know, tech startup entrepreneurs through to, you know, all the big companies, you know, big retailers, et cetera, to just step out of your day to day, find a mentor who's not in your industry, but just in a completely different skill set. So that's been very rewarding to have that, and it's something that I continue to do. And it very quickly turns in from an official mentor relationship to sort of a friendship, but with a friendship with constructive feedback. That's the best way. It's like, you know, there's nothing to lose. I'm just like, that's a really crap idea, or have you really thought this through, or, you know, Charlotte, you've done that again and I can see why X, Y, and Z are frustrated, or you've maybe not thought that all the way through, whereas like your mates would just be like, yeah, that sounds great, and just sort of moving on. So I think having that constructive criticism, feedback, support is more important now than I think it's ever been, certainly in my career right now. And for sort of stepping back to the marketing within tech, then I think this is key to bridge those, not necessarily divides, but bridge those areas. And I would thoroughly recommend if anyone would need more up for some mentoring, then more than happy to sit with sort of the development teams, the tech teams, and sort of share some of this as well, because I think it's really valuable, and it's really refreshing actually when I do meet engineers and developers who have taken the time to just ask some questions around marketing. What is it you actually do? And to see that sort of commercial penny drop almost, just like, oh yeah, if we're not in that space, and if we're not talking the right message, and if we're not consistent with our branding, then yeah, I can see where that person might get a bit lost. And actually, yeah, if we're driving them to a website when everyone's, or that group is mobile based, and yep, that might not be the best user experience. And it all just starts to flow through together. And I've certainly noticed that over the past couple of years, in terms of both sides sort of understanding each other a bit better, it just makes for more interest, I guess, where you're not in an echo chamber of, you know, marketers talking to marketers, and actually, oh, hang on, let's talk to some product people, let's talk about engineering. Just like, I might not understand everything, but gosh, it makes my job a lot easier and a lot more interesting if I do at least try and understand. And that mentoring side is really, really helps with that.
You know, I couldn't agree more with what you were saying about, you know, really getting that external feedback. And the beauty of today's age is that, you know, if I want to connect with someone who works for a certain brand that I really appreciate, and it'd be good to get their input, whether it be, you know, from any kind of walk of life capacity, you know, I can go on LinkedIn, connect with them, you know, and we can have a conversation, and people are receptive to that now, which is just a fantastic economy to be in. And you know, it's important to do that also, to just kind of lift your head out of the bubble for a while, because, you know, the importance of that, the external kind of networking now, and how readily available it is. You know, it's so important to get out of the bubble internally, and be aware of what everyone else is doing. And like I was saying, the economy of today, with the ability to just go on LinkedIn and connect with people and ask questions, and, you know, people are receptive to that. And I think you have to do it, to stay on top of the game, because you can't just rely internally anymore. And I do think you do become part of the furniture eventually, no matter how hard you fight it. So if you're not doing these external activities, then you're not bringing that kind of fresh perspective on things, which is obviously, so incredibly important for a marketing department.
I think that's really important, actually. And I'm just sort of reflecting on how I've dealt with a few things recently. And I've had people reach out to me on LinkedIn and just, hey, I see that we have a similar, or we have a mutual connection. It might be an agency. Would you recommend them? I've sat on and sort of talked through campaigns that I've run and shared, not necessarily shared numbers, but I think we're much more open to, yeah, I did this and it worked, it didn't work. Here are some tips. Like, might be a completely different sector that you're working in, but just here are things to watch out for. And we're just a much more, actually thinking about it, it's much more reflective of the society we're in, of just being a lot more sort of open with things. But if I think back to sort of 10 years ago, it would be just like, I'm not telling you what we've done. It's trade secret. And now it's just like, yeah, I ran this like Facebook campaign, or I ran an offline campaign, and these are the things that I learned. And no, I haven't had time to put this into a blog post, but I will quite happily tell you. And if you have any questions, then please let me know. And that might also be sort of the type of person I am, but just I see that more. And I also have totally just like randomly messaged people on LinkedIn of just, I see that you've done something, and I just wonder if I could just ask you some questions. And 9 times out of 10, people are really receptive to it. Of, oh gosh, thank God, A, someone's seen what I've done. B, I suppose there's a little bit of a, oh, somebody wants to speak to me as an expert on it. And see, just, I think in general, and especially in the tech side of things, it's just like, if someone else can learn from what has no doubt been, a painstaking, hard work. And it's just nice that, I can share that. Somebody else doesn't have to go through it, and it was all worth it. If maybe the results either did or didn't sort of go as planned, it's just like, if someone else can learn from that. And again, it's that sort of mentoring sort of way of thinking that, yeah, I can sit on all of this, but what's the point? Just, if someone else can get something out of it, and it might even just be, don't do that. Save yourself hours and hours of, slogging hard work to, actually, if I did it again, this is what I'd do. And actually, I wish I'd spoken to that person. So you should probably speak to that person so that you can get some even better advice. And, that's, again, just the way the world seems to work. And I think actually LinkedIn is a really powerful tool, and thinking around mentoring, it gives you the confidence to just ask for help. Like, just to say, I don't know how to do this. And it's like, I don't know the ins and outs of, the bowels of Facebook and, Facebook advertising. It's just like, I'm going to have to ask for help on this. And okay, someone's taken the time and has stepped me through it all. It's like, great, thank you very much. And I'll make sure that I pay it forward when someone else needs some help that, I know how to do and they don't. It's like, let me save you the hours of, how long it will take you to work it out. Let me sit down with you. It will take me 15 minutes. And that's the power of the network.
But it also speaks volumes of someone who, is willing to go out and ask for help and be open about not knowing something. The best people I've ever worked with, and you mentioned, the psychology people in marketing are some of the best people you ever work with. Well, just to take that step further, the best people, I've ever worked with are the ones that, are very, very comfortable saying, I don't know how to do something. They're always the best people because they're the ones who learn the quickest. I think that we're, whether it's a British thing or just in general, I think it's an ego thing. People are scared to ask for help because it's like, that makes me vulnerable. And does that mean that I'm not an expert now? Like, what does it mean? And it's complete nonsense. I think that, if anyone who's willing to go out and say, I don't know how to do something and get better, back from asking something, the quicker you can do that, the quicker you learn. And I think that all the high level people are very, very keen and are just thirsty for knowledge. So I think it's just a good trait to have regardless of, what your profession is.
Yeah, actually, I think that's a really nice way of just thinking about it, of just like, it's impossible to know every single facet of marketing nowadays. Like, there's too much, and you can't be an expert in brand and be an expert in Facebook advertising. I'm sure these people exist, but to try and do across 20 different channels and be an expert across it, even though we are expected to be it, is just that it's okay to ask for help and to say, actually, and I'm seeing this much more and more in interviews as well, just hand up, nope, I don't know how to do that, but I will tell you that I will do it. I will teach myself. Or if you have someone that I can speak to, and to have that almost like transparency and honesty it's really refreshing. And sort of thinking through that of just like the best people I work with is, yep. Whereas like, I'm not going to BS you. I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to spend an hour, half a day, however long, and teach myself it. And I will come back to you, and I might not be the fastest for a bit, but I'll get there. I've got all the time in the world for those people. And I think it's a really nice way to think. And that's, like I said, that's key across any place. But I think marketing now has the breadth that's okay to say, I need some help. Mentoring, network, being brave and sort of sticking your hand up. It does take some guts sometimes. But I think that's when I think back to my own career, that's certainly been what's got me through some some pickles. I think that's a really nice way to think about it.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll kind of round it up there as well. I think it's probably a relevant point to finish on, and I think a really nice one too. So I know you've got a hard stop at half three. I know you actually had a hard stop at 10 past, but I think that speaks volumes of the conversation. So thank you very much, Charlotte, for taking the time. I really enjoyed it, and it's a nice change having someone from a similar background on the show.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud, or check out the website venturi-group.com. And keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent, news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.